Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I am your host Prakash Sangam, founder and principal at Tantra Analyst. In today's episode, we'll put light on things that are happening in IoT, specifically on how edge AI is impacting IoT now and as well as in the future. I had a great discussion with Edge AI Foundation CEO, Pete Bernard, on one of our previous episodes. I highly encourage you to check that out as well, although it's not a precursor for this, but gives good foundation and additional information regarding the topic. So yeah, a couple of weeks ago, a semiconductor giant Qualcomm surprised the IoT and Edge AI ecosystems by announcing the acquisition of Arduino, which is very well known for its open source hardware platforms and expansive developer ecosystem. Arduino is used by hobbyists and commercial companies alike, working on many IoT devices and solutions. A majority of the Arduino ecosystem utilizes microcontrollers and simple processors for a wide range of applications and services. Although that is starting to slowly change now, especially with the advent of AI. AI requires more powerful processors and higher memory, higher bandwidth, the faster connectivity, and so on. I think that is where Qualcomm found it useful, frankly. So far, utilization of Qualcomm chips in Arduino ecosystem is very limited, but that is all set to change. When Qualcomm announced the acquisition, there were many questions in the ecosystem, mainly regarding Qualcomm's motivation, specifically why it decided to acquire it instead of partnering with it or collaborating with it. And also, what happens to this vast ecosystem that Arduino has, which, as I said, primarily work on simple microcontrollers and so on. And what happens to this open source and open architecture approach and so on. To answer all those questions and more, we have with us today Mani Singh, who is the VP of Product Management at Qualcomm's Industrial and Embedded IoT Business Unit. Mani, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Prakash. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's start with some introductions. I know you spent a lot of time with Qualcomm, almost 3 decades, I think. Tell us about your journey there and what you're currently doing.
Sure. So my name is Mani Singh. I'm product manager in the IoT business unit. I drive the strategy and execution of building and scaling developer ecosystem around our silicon. So basically, I see the end-to-end productization of developer kits with our AI-enabled SoCs, making sure that we have robust software, hardware, tooling, SDKs, and most importantly, the out-of-box developer experience. So basically, my responsibility goes cross-functional across engineering, marketing, developer relations, program management, AI engineering, and all of that to make sure that what we deliver for the developer, it meets certain quality standards.
Okay.
So that's been my focus. But I've been at Qualcomm almost 30 years now. I spend most of my time in the mobile business unit in customer engineering team, where I was leading the support for all of the mobile OEMs that built smartphones based on our reference platform. So, but in the last 3 years, I've been part of the IoT business unit, where I started with building ecosystem business partnership with the module vendors. And now I'm primarily focused on developer ecosystem.
Cool. So, you have a lot of mobile background, and as with Qualcomm, which is more working with very powerful processors, working with highly concentrated customer base, right? Maybe less than 10, or very large with very capable engineering teams and so on. Comparing and contrasting that with IoT, which is a small, high volume play, right? And not necessarily all the companies have sophisticated engineer teams and such, and of course, a very long tail of these companies. How does that jibe with Qualcomm's standard business practice, right? I mean, I think you're in a perfect place to contrast these things, right? And I know you guys have been trying to scale and address the challenge of this IoT ecosystem? Where are you guys in that journey?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll start by talking about a little bit about the IoT industry, the challenges that the industry itself faces, and primarily it's about fragmentation that goes across, you know, different hardware architectures, different OSs, different tool chains, SDKs. All of these things come in the way of actually scaling your business.
Yeah, it's very diverse, right? Yeah.
Right. It's very, very diverse. So many verticals, smart cameras, healthcare, industrial, robotics.
Mm-hmm.
Every vertical has its own stack, making it very, very difficult to scale these solutions.
Correct.
So what we felt is that, you know, as, you know, Qualcomm traditionally has been a B2B, big customers on the mobile and compute and automotive.
Mm-hmm.
But this business requires tremendous amount of scale to mass market customers.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So, and the way to solve this problem, at least to some extent, is we need some very solid common foundation, common workflows
mm-hmm.
that regardless of vertical, that we can solve these problems for the industry, mm-hmm. right? That's where we started. Now, our biggest challenge is that even though we have, world-class silicon,
mm-hmm.
we needed to translate that into what it needs to be an ecosystem adoption.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is needed for mass market scaling, which is to bridge the gap between what our chips are capable of and how the developers use it.
Uh-huh.
So that has been our biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So really, in order to do that, we're trying to now transition from a product or a silicon company to a platform company in IoT. And a full ecosystem enabler connecting the sensing, silicon, software, and developers to scale this IoT business.
Yeah, it's not just you just give them your chipset and they'll figure it out, right? You have to build a full platform for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That has been the case in our other businesses where, you have highly concentrated, very capable, high volume customers who have large engineering teams and they can figure things out.
Yeah.
But in case of IoT, you have small customers who are used to getting solutions where they don't have to spend a whole lot of engineering effort and they have all of the, everything that they need, right, from hardware design to, software layers that can plug in very easily.
Yeah.
And they can then build a solution in a very, the economics for these type of devices, is different from what we've used to seeing in the mobile.
Correct.
So where is Qualcomm in this journey? I would say we are about at the midpoint of this journey.
Mm-hmm.
We are moving from a pure horizontal play to bringing capabilities that go vertical. And over the past year, we built strong foundation in terms of a scalable SoC family for IoT, for both commercial and industrial IoT.
Yeah.
Industrial IoT is something that we had not focused on before, but we now have a very scalable roadmap that has the right temperature spec, longevity, things that are needed for industrial environments. We have a unified AI tool chain.
Mm-hmm.
We have deeper ecosystem partnership, like I was saying, with module vendors.
Yeah.
The next phase for us is really about reach and repeatability.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about getting large number of developers
and
OEMs to build on our platform. And that's why we did acquisitions like Foundries, Arduino, Edgeimpulse, and also collaborating with partners like Canonical to bring in Ubuntu OS that makes the developer experience so much better.
Yeah.
So that has been our sort of strategy, and that's what we are trying to pull together.
Cool. So, bring in AI, so that kind of supercharges, in a way, this IoT edge ecosystem. At the same time, as I said in the monologue, you need more powerful processors, higher memory, more advanced tool chain and so on, right? So that's, I think, it gets even more interesting for you guys, right? The IoT ecosystem as such.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the challenges with the IoT industry is that the customers haven't been able to, translate all the data that they have with these devices into real business outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that they don't have the ability to build production-ready AI models.
Uh-huh.
And be able to maintain those models over the lifetime of the device.
Yeah.
So that has been a challenge. Mm-hmm. But the AI, as we all know, right? I mean, there is a real opportunity here for everyone to be able to use AI in, you know, regardless of, or, you know, any kind of sensing that they might may have on their device, yeah, and be able to then, you know, make a much better experience of gaining insight from that data, and then be able to then bring out the business outcomes. So I think that's where the industry has been kind of struggling. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to bring about a full stack solution. Mm-hmm. It's not just about silicon, right? I mean, there are a lot of good embedded engineers, but they struggle with AI.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of great AI engineers that struggle with the embedded.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure that we bring a full stack solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the acquisition of Edge Impulse came in, that brought in the MLOps platform.
Uh-huh.
That allows people to build models, collect data, you know, process data, build models, optimize models, and deploy models. And not only that, continue monitoring the models over the lifetime of the device. So it's really, for us, when we looked at the AI challenge, mm-hmm, it wasn't about, hey, let's make some you know, pre-trained models available and have the customers go, you know, build things on their own.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that when they have to solve their unique problems,
mm-hmm,
they really need the capability right from the start. When you start with collecting the data for your specific problem with the sensor that you have on your device,
mm-hmm,
that's where the Edge Impulse comes in. I mean, they're in a no code or a low code platform. They allow the developers to be able to solve this problem from the data all the way to deployment and then to monitoring.
Yeah, and when it comes to AI, GenAI is all the rage now. People immediately jump to the conclusion that when you talk about AI, it's GenAI. But in an IoT world, there's still a lot of work on legacy, classic AI, ML, right? Not necessarily all of it is GenAI, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I mean, today, most of the AI is classical ML. Yeah. There is vision, speech, detection. And of course, Gen AI is coming fast,
yeah,
with smaller quantized models.
Yeah.
So those are already being optimized for on-device use.
Yeah.
And in the very near future, we should see devices running meaningful portions of the Gen AI locally. And that's needed because this shift is needed because of latency, privacy, and cost.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot run large LLMs on in cloud because of these reasons.
Yeah.
And then there are use cases like robotics and wearables where you need real-time decisions.
Correct.
Data cannot leave the device or premises. Inference at scale is expensive.
Yeah.
So all of that combined, whether it's classical ML or GenAI,
mm-hmm,
you want to be able to run those at the edge.
Yeah.
And Qualcomm is already enabling this through all kinds of hardware acceleration for transformer models and quantization and quantized LLMs,
yeah,
running on device already,
mm-hmm,
of course on the mobile device, but then, as you know, we have one technology roadmap that kind of translates from mobile all the way to IoT.
Yeah.
And we have very capable SoCs that have very high level of compute all the way from, you know, up to hundreds of TOPS.
Yeah.
And those can run on device or on-prem.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I mean, it's perfect time to bring in the Arduino acquisition. So again, congrats on the acquisition. How does Arduino and that large ecosystem fit into that? And of course, it needs some transformation as such, right? The ecosystem, which is, as I primarily said, at a microcontroller and very simple processor level. How does all of this fit into Qualcomm's overall IoT strategy?
Right. So Arduino essentially gives Qualcomm direct access to 30 plus million developers.
Mm-hmm.
This is our bridge from chip capability to real world adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For Qualcomm, the performance has never been a challenge. It's basically the accessibility.
Correct.
We need to improve on. And our chips are powerful,
uh-huh,
but the developers need simple open tools to build on them.
Yeah.
And Arduino provides exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
It provides a very familiar workflow, a huge community, and they have a lot of credibility in the education space and you know, with all the makers that are building prototypes.
Yeah.
So essentially by combining Arduino's reach with Qualcomm's technology depth, we want to basically lower the barrier for entry-level makers to then take these, build these prototypes and take it to, you know, become professional developers. And so that's sort of the overarching kind of the reason for this acquisition. Now, if you look at UnoQ that we launched last week, that's one great example where we combine Arduino's simplicity with Qualcomm's compute and AI performance. As you know, there's a large part of Arduino's developer ecosystem that's using Uno today.
Yeah, it's very well familiar with that setup.
Right, they have a microcontroller. But all of these makers and students and educators, people building prototypes, they want to now graduate to the next level of experiences, and especially with AI in every domain. This is a perfect platform. The UnoQ is a perfect platform for them to transition from a simple microcontroller Uno to a microprocessor-based UnoQ, where they can learn AI in a simple and easy way without getting frustrated and struggling with it. So what Arduino did with this product, they built something called an App Lab that basically it's a way for you to build simple Python. It, first of all, it brings out-of-box experiences for all sorts of AI use cases and models. Then you get to experience it seamlessly, really out of the box, and then you can tinker with it and build newer experiences. And then the other cool part of this is it actually seamlessly connects with the Arduino sketches that run on microcontrollers. So they're not losing any functionality that they are used to seeing with the Uno before. And they have the same connectors that can allow that allows them to put the, you know, use the same shields, same Arduino ecosystem shields and all the quick connectors and everything. So this is the beauty of Arduino. They have a really large ecosystem. What Qualcomm brings is more capability to them with new microprocessors. And Arduino did a fantastic sort of marrying of the two of microprocessor and microcontroller and brought these things together to teach the same students who will now be able to experience AI through this board.
Yeah, so like if you take UnoQ, it's basically adding your Dragon board chip onto the same board, right? So it's like a dual chip, so all the interfaces remain the same. Is that
exactly?
Is that going to be the approach going forward, or at least in the near future?
It's our very first board, and we feel very confident, and so far the feedback has been very positive that, you know, the way the board is designed, where you allow people to do real-time operation, as well as doing machine learning with Python applications, I think that has resonated very well. Not only that, they also added high-speed connectors, and this is also new with the Unos. The UnoQ has high-speed connectors that allow you to then expand the functionality of the boards to attach MIPI camera sensors or DSI display or other audio functionalities. So in other words, this board can do so much more than the developers are used to seeing with Uno before. And obviously, you know, advancements in compute and AI and the need for more compute, you need a platform that can enable these students and educators to kind of now get to the next level experience. So while Arduino will continue to develop boards that are built with just pure microcontroller, this is another added capability. This is another tool in the, you know, in their toolbox. So we're not taking any tools away from them. We're basically just adding more tools in their tool chest.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So then the most asked question, I'm sure it has been asked a million times to you. So looking at UnoQ, why not do the same thing through a partnership or collaboration with Arduino? Why did you have to buy it?
That's a good question. I think partnership, I don't think it was enough for us to unlock the full potential. The reason why I say this is, first of all, is that ownership lets us accelerate these innovations. And we want to still keep the Arduino brand, the open source spirit, the multi-vendor philosophy. The goal wasn't to really control, but the main goal was to accelerate the innovation. Because, you know, we have so many chips in our portfolio that can do so many different things. And we wanted to make sure that we wanted to integrate hardware, software, and tooling seamlessly. And the level of coherence that we needed, it required this tight alignment across engineering, marketing, roadmap decisions, and so on. So we started with a partnership, but then very soon realized that, you know, we have so much potential with working with Arduino that it's probably best for us to bring them in so that we can move faster. So I would say our goal is to amplify Arduino and not just absorb it, but just really amplify it.
And the acquisition gives you more advantages, more control, as you said, in terms of roadmap decisions, how you integrate across the ecosystem and such through acquisition rather than just simple partnership.
What I meant was that the goal wasn't control as much as it is to speed things up. Because these are complex technologies, right? I mean, this requires a lot of collaboration with the teams across engineering, marketing, and making some roadmap decisions. And as we started to work with Arduino, we realized very quickly that, you know, they have an awesome team, and we felt very comfortable working with them.
Yeah.
And they were pretty excited about our chipset as well. So I think it just kind of a natural progression. And we wanted to move from just simple coordination to really integrating, aligning on the roadmap, software, community strategy, without any kind of friction of partnership boundaries, because as you know, when you have partnership, there are so many things that you cannot share with each other, things like that. It just felt natural, especially when we started to work with them. And the information and collaboration flow has been very smooth with Arduino so far. So we feel very good about having this acquisition.
Cool. So you're saying for Arduino ecosystem partners, nothing really should change in the short term, at least, right? Everything continues, only they have bigger access to Qualcomm ecosystem, Qualcomm IP.
Yeah, so for Arduino ecosystem, for developers, you know, it's going to be the same brand, same IDE, same libraries, same open source ecosystem. Over the time, the developers should see more access, not less. They will have more options on the hardware side with Qualcomm Silicon. They will have deeper AI machine learning enablement. They will have tighter integration with Qualcomm technologies and toolchain. Mm-hmm. For example, Edge Impulse, I mentioned earlier, and Qualcomm AI Hub. I think that is a very, very important part of it. We're bringing all of this in front of the developers.
Mm-hmm.
So the intent is to make these sophisticated capabilities like AI accessible without complexity. Mm-hmm. And we'll keep the openness where it matters the most. Mm-hmm. We're simply giving it more capability.
Okay, cool. And in terms of what Qualcomm gets, it's more the benefit is increasing the reach to the developer community and, increasing chipset usage and sales as such, right? It's more indirect. There's no direct monetization or anything of that sort you're thinking about?
So Arduino's value to Qualcomm is primarily ecosystem driven.
Okay.
So the business impact is both direct and indirect. Mm-hmm. Indirectly, of course, Arduino helps us expand the developer adoption of our IoT SoCs.
Yeah.
And then it creates kind of like a flywheel effect.
Mm-hmm.
So you have students, then you have makers who are building prototypes, and then kind of helps us win the mind share that can lead to hopefully volume design wins with actual customers.
Okay.
We feel like if we lower the barrier to entry and build familiarity with Qualcomm technology early in the development funnel, we can see how then it can scale to silicon design pipeline.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
At the same time, we do have some direct monetization opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm.
Arduino actually has started, recently they've started serving industrial users through their Pro line of products, like the Opta PLC and the Portenta and Nikola series of products. We do see potential for more advanced Pro products that can integrate our SoCs as well, which can translate to direct sales. And then last but not the least, Arduino has Arduino Cloud SaaS business that allows developers and enterprise customers to manage and update their devices, get data analytics, and so on.
Yeah.
So, there are direct and indirect opportunities, but primarily, I would say, Arduino is going to be our ecosystem accelerator.
Okay.
basically shortening the time from prototype to actual production.
Okay.
Which, by the way, you know, in other cases, if you look at other ecosystems, mm-hmm. when you start with something and you build a prototype, mm-hmm. then you have to go to a completely new ecosystem yeah. to build a production.
Yeah.
In this case, you can seamlessly go from a prototype to a production with Qualcomm's, you know, production-ready silicon that's in these prototypes as well.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned Edge Impulse a couple of times, and then as also you mentioned, Arduino has its own cloud system platform. So how are you planning to integrate these two things together? And you also have other properties like our SaaS, and you have your Qualcomm AI Hub, which hosts lots of AI models, right, that could be utilized by this ecosystem. So how are you thinking to bring all these things together?
Yeah, so the first order of business is for us to make sure that we create a full stack solution, like I said, from silicon to software, and mm-hmm. And in between, of course, the development boards that Arduino is building. Yeah. So the first level of integration is a seamless integration between the Edge Impulse platform, which is a SaaS-based platform, mm-hmm. with the Arduino's device itself,
okay.
right? Which means if, you know, as an Arduino user, you can experience out-of-the-box, ready-built application that are AI-based application. But then if you want to build your own use case, you want to train your own model, you can seamlessly transition from an Arduino App Lab experience over to an Edge Impulse platform where you can go build your model and bring right back seamlessly.
Okay.
You know, so it's tool chains. They sort of kind of, you know, seem like one mm-hmm. when you don't have to go to one company to go build something, then you have to figure out how to deploy it on your device. The Edge Impulse tool chain has the Arduino, for example, UnoQ hardware as a deployable platform already available.
Okay.
So that's the first level of integration, okay. right? So between the device, yeah. the App Lab, and the Edge Impulse.
Yeah, makes sense.
Now you have the Arduino Cloud, which again, as I mentioned earlier, it provides the capability for you to do device management, do data analytics. So that's a separate SaaS platform. Mm-hmm. That and the Edge Impulse, I don't see a clear overlap yet because they serve two different functions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But if you look at our Aware Cloud,
yeah.
which does the tracking, sensing, locating, you know, that type of cloud management, yeah. then there could be some synergies between the Arduino's cloud and Aware Cloud.
Yeah.
Again, this is too cool for me to comment on this as to how we might integrate
yeah.
this. But I can see that, you know, because Arduino Cloud does similar thing. They do device management and they do data collection and data analytics.
Yeah.
And Aware has similar capabilities. We haven't reached that point. We've been busy building a product right
okay.
now. But definitely, as the time goes on, we will start thinking about how some of these pieces may come together.
And in terms of AI models, so you have Qualcomm AI Hub, right? Is it called? How you bridge the AI models over there to this?
No, that's a fantastic question. So there is definitely synergies between Edge Impulse uh-huh. and AI Hub.
Yeah.
As you know, AI Hub brings you pre-trained models yeah. that are already optimized for Qualcomm Silicon.
Correct.
And those live in the cloud. They can be you can really exercise those models on devices, real devices that are hosted in the cloud. However, mm-hmm. for a user, the problem is not about, hey, let me just go to a model zoo and grab a model and use it. The very next thing that they start thinking about is, how do I use this model to solve the problem that I mm-hmm. have? And what that means is that then they have to start collecting new data. And then they need to do transfer learning mm-hmm. on the model that they have from AI Hub.
Correct.
So in that respect, we're basically connecting AI Hub and the Edge Impulse
yeah.
so that you can seamlessly grab a pre-trained model from AI Hub and then do a transfer learning using Edge Impulse and then deploy it seamlessly on an Arduino platform.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can start to see, right, all these pieces of the puzzle are kind of fitting
yeah.
together
yeah.
To create a end-to-end system that is, you know, easily accessible for developers to build a full application.
And it's single login, exactly. Single access to all these properties from a user point of view.
Exactly. So our goal is to have like one single sign-on that connects all these pieces together.
Yeah.
Developers don't have to jump through many hoops and work with different tool gen from different companies.
Yeah.
They just kind of build everything in one place and then deploy it as well.
Yeah.
So it's, so as you can see, right, even after deployment, you have to have the ability to monitor the model.
Correct.
Because models in the field can drift over a period of time. Mm-hmm. So Agibulk brings that piece as well on top of it. Yeah. They can monitor the model. They can bring it back, the data onto the cloud.
Yeah.
They can then retrain the model, redeploy the model. So there are so many of these capabilities that are kind of intertwined.
Yeah.
And then you have foundries, which is another piece we haven't touched on much, which is another asset in IoT where you can upgrade your devices, you know, upgrade the BSP, upgrade the models. So that's another thing that kind of completes the end-to-end picture for a developer.
Yeah.
Right from data to deployment to management.
Correct. So, and this integration you're talking about with single window to all of the things that Qualcomm has to offer, I'm assuming some of it is already starting to happen. How complex it is?
Yeah.
What are some of the timelines that you're thinking?
So the first level of integration between Agibulk and Arduino has happened.
Okay.
But there is more deeper integration that we are working on. It should happen soon.
Uh-huh.
Already work going on between Agibulk and AI Hub. That's also happening. So I would say in very near future, you should see a complete end-to-end seamless orchestration of developer journey.
Uh-huh.
Being on our Qualcomm platform. So it's not too far away.
Okay.
It's work in progress. Some of it, you can see it already working, but there's more deeper integration that we continue to kind of work on as we see developer pain points, we continue to enhance this.
Cool. So, I mean, as I mentioned, right now, the Arduino ecosystem doesn't use Qualcomm chipsets, Dragon Wing, Snapdragon, whatever it is, that much, right? I mean, UnoQ is the first one, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're planning to increase that utilization of Qualcomm chips by this ecosystem.
Yeah.
How are you incentivizing them as they are your ecosystem, not a partner's ecosystem, right?
So you're right. Arduino ecosystem has limited, only one board from Qualcomm. But we just got started. So more will be coming. But our strategy is quality first. It's not going to be to just flood the market with a lot of different boards, but we're going to focus on few very high quality, well integrated platforms with content and workflow readiness that really truly really demonstrate what's possible when you combine the Arduino's accessibility and Qualcomm's compute and AI capability. So we want to put forth platforms that developers can truly experience end-to-end journey. So with Arduino and Agibulk integration on top of that, it allows you to get easy data flow, data to model to device flow. So our goal right now is to scale deliberately. We're starting with a flagship board like UnoQ that will bring in the existing Uno developer ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
But then we will expand into specialized AI boards optimized for different types of or tiers of developers and applications. So obviously we have so many powerful chipsets.
Yeah.
We're going to be very deliberate in our approach on which boards we bring into market. So in some ways we are building demand before supply.
Yeah.
Make sure that every board has a clear story. It has a developer journey and we can showcase the strength of these platforms.
And real use cases and at least some champion target customers, if you will, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I see that you're also on the advisory board of Edge AI Foundation. So what is the role of Edge AI Foundation in all of this?
So Edge AI Foundation, as you know, it's one place to connect the entire ecosystem that's building Edge AI solutions, whether it's hardware, whether it's software, tool chains, You know, I recently became a member of Edge AI Foundation. Pete brought me in.
Yeah.
We have Evgeny from Qualcomm, who's the chairman of the board as well. So,
And the
reason why I felt like this is the right place for me is to really see what's happening in the industry, get to experience firsthand, and also share what Qualcomm is doing as well. So, you know, AGI is a common theme across all of our platforms. This is part of our core part of our strategy in IoT, is to enable all SoCs with varying degree of AGI capability. So I wanted to kind of see how I could, you know, participate and contribute to the ongoing development of AGI systems. And so I've been part of this foundation for almost, what, 6 months now? And, you know, I've really learned a lot about what goes on in the industry, what kind of challenges people are facing, what kind of problems to be solved. I'm both contributing and learning from that experience. So it's been great so far.
And how does the foundation play into Arduino ecosystem? I think there is a lot of overlap between the two. So,
well, foundation is somewhat, I mean, they are not, they are agnostic to any kind of hardware or a platform. They have all companies from all over the world. There are a lot of our competitors are part of this as well. So they're not really married to a specific platform or this thing, but they, in general, they want to basically share common experiences across all of the players in the industry to see, you know, what problems are there that that need to be solved, what, you know, what everybody's kind of doing, where are the areas for maybe collaboration, business partnerships, and so on. So, yeah, I mean, it's not specific per se to Arduino, but hopefully we can contribute in a meaningful manner with our platforms as well. So they have a lot of different initiatives, including education. So Arduino could be one of the tools for them to kind of broaden the use of AGI in the ecosystem.
Cool. So one of the questions a lot of folks are worried about or wondering with the Qualcomm acquisition of Arduino is what will happen to this open source approach and mindset that Arduino is famous for, and also a lot of the smaller players, hobbyists, students, and others looking at primarily microcontroller and small, low power, low cost chips and so on, right? So how can you allay their fears that they will be either ignored or pushed out or something like that with this giant taking over this free spirit organization, if you will?
No, that's a fair question. And I think we've heard this many times before, you know, especially after the acquisition was announced. So the short answer is we're not here to replace microcontrollers.
Okay.
Microcontrollers are the foundation of Arduino. That will stay that way. And as I earlier, right, our role is to expand what is possible for developers who want to go beyond microcontrollers. They want to use AI, they want to use vision, advanced connectivity, but keeping the same Arduino simplicity. So we're trying to combine those, you know, advanced capabilities with Arduino simplicity, but not impacting the microcontroller roadmap in any way. So it's really broadening their toolbox, not taking anything away from them. We're building something. If you're a developer, and you want to build something simple, keep using the MCU-based boards from Arduino. But if you want AI, if you want high level of compute, if you want advanced functionality, now developers know that they have a Qualcomm option, and they have the same Arduino trusted ecosystem with the simplicity that they bring in to the table.
Cool. That was a great discussion, Manny. Thank you very much for all of your insights and, of course, for coming over to Tantra's Mantra.
Thank you, Prakash. It was really good to talk to you. Very insightful questions, and looking forward to connecting with you again sometime.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. I would love to keep checking how the progression is and how you're able to collaborate and, you know, bring more chipsets into Arduino ecosystem and how that ecosystem plays out. Definitely should touch base, you know, year's time or something like that.
Absolutely. We'll have much more exciting stuff to share with you at that time.
All right. So folks, that's all we have for now. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening this on. I'll be back soon with another episode, putting light on another interesting tech subject. Don't forget to check out the episode on AGI Foundation that I mentioned earlier. Bye-bye for now.